Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. I'd like to just greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus and have a very happy Father's Day to you fathers in here and to you potential fathers one day, Lord willing. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, you are our Father. Happy Father's Day. And Lord, we're just thrilled, Lord, to have this privilege to come together, because knowing that the world is crumbling all around us, and Father, we're actually seeing the manifestation of what you said would come. And we're not ignorant people, Lord. We've been filled with your Holy Spirit, and even your Apostle John said that the reason why that we know all truth is because we've been given your Spirit. And so, Father, we have an unction from the Holy One, that we might know all things. And you've come down to give us that knowledge of all things through the great shout which you came down with. And you used the lips of a humble man, William Branham, our prophet, your messenger to us. And we're thankful, Father, that as we study the words that he spoke to us, your word has opened up to us. And knowing that we came through a season of the spoken word, and now we're in a season of a manifested word. So, Father, we're asking that you would guide us today. May we bless thee in our conversations. May we truly have our hearts open to hear the word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, this will be number 4 in our end time events. And this morning, as we continue in this mini-series of the end time events and end time, end of all things, I think these last 3 sermons have opened our minds to see so many scriptures being fulfilled before our very eyes today. And Brother Branham said in the unveiling of God that we read from the same scriptures, he said, that we read, but they cannot see the manifestation of it. So they can read the Bible, same one we're reading, but for some reason they're not seeing it. You know, people are getting jabbed all over the place, and the prophet warned us against germ warfare, and people, they're dull to the things of the prophet, unless they're not listening to the prophet. You know, that may be the case. They're listening to other ministers or something. I don't know. But anyway, so in paragraph 119 of the sermon, the unveiling of God, which we've been studying since March 4th, and you know, I was reading a scripture the other day, and I forget which one it was. LeVon and I were listening to it as we do our kind of our evening devotion, and you know, he said, those that are without knowledge are fearful, and I think that's the case. You know, the more you know about what's going on, the less fearful you are about it, because you know to avoid it. But you know, people that are not knowledgeable are falling for all the pressure. We're living in a time of great stress, the Bible tells us, and a time of fear. And they're using fear like they've never used before to try to get the people, oh, now we got this strain, now we got this strain. And India says, we don't have a special strain of COVID here. And some of the other countries have said, we got a strain coming out of this country. They said, we don't have a special strain coming out. It's all lies, lies, lies from the WHO and from the CDC. It's lies, people. Lies. This is Satan's Eden. Now, from the unveiling of God, Brother Branham said, but God's in full view of us. He's hid, though. Same now. Then when God in his mercy seat rent the veil, he was brought into plain view. But they were so wrapped in their traditions, he was still hid from them. Same now. And then paragraph 120 says, it tells us, Christ is the word, but is hidden to them by their own traditions. But we are invited into him, the word. Then in paragraph 121, Brother Brown tells us, so now we are invited into him to be partakers of all that he is. And he is the word. We're invited into him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. See, now they know that glory. They've read of it. It's in the word here of the glory of God, or the things like that. It's just a word to them. To us, it's a manifestation. You see the difference? They're looking back 2,000 years or even 60 years ago and failing to recognize that word is for us today. Brother Branham said the entire New Testament speaks of this hour. He says it's just a word to them, but it to us it's a manifestation. See? It's no more a word, it's a reality. Amen. God said, let there be light. That was a word, but now there is light. It ain't the word, it's the light. See what I mean? I'd like to add this. The prophet said during warfare, then it was a word, now it's a reality. Then paragraph 122, he says, now it isn't just a written word to us, it's a reality. We are in Him. Now we're enjoying Him. Now we behold Him. Now we see Him. The Word manifesting Himself is hid out there because why? It's veiled in human flesh. See? You see, if the people are failing to recognize the manifested Word now, they're not going to see the manifested rapture. That's the Word promised too. And as I said last week, we've gone from the written Word to the spoken Word. Then when God came down with a shout, that was He brought the spoken word, and His written word then became spoken word as he came down with a shout, and that shout, that spoken word upon the written word, brought a season of manifestation of that word. And now the written word has now become manifested word, and we're laying in the presence of His manifested word, and we have no fear of what is happening in the world because we know it was foreordained to come, and we see the manifestation of it, and we know that He gave the word, or He that gave the word is here to perform it, to bring it into manifestation, and by seeing it come to pass, we know we have the right interpretation of what was written and spoken because we are actually partakers of it. Oh my goodness. That ought to make you just shout.
Yes.
Just shout. This is the third pole. His spoken word manifested, and it is the word. He said the third pole will be to the world, and this is all going on to the world, but it's for the bride.
Yes.
And we see so much of His word that is coming to pass, our judgments to the world. But it is for the bride because it is a manifestation of the spoken word made real to us. Not to them. They still don't believe it. And as a result, they fear. And as a result, they're in their fear, they do things normal people would not do, like gamble away their life to hold a job or to be able to travel or to go to a public event, which most of us have avoided for years anyway, because He called us to be a separated people. So it is no loss to us if we can't attend a concert or a public gathering where people end up rioting and doing evil stuff. It's no loss to us if when we go into public places we do a little social distancing because, you know, let's face it, there's a lot more germ warfare going on out there than just COVID. You've got STDs everywhere. The world is eat up with insanity because of them. You know, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, we talked about, well, you know, if a person gets syphilis, you know, he kind of loses his mind. He gets gonorrhea, he loses his mind. Well, today, there's so many different STDs, the people have lost their minds, and they're willing to kill themselves by taking things that they don't even know what it is. No, sir. You know, there's a push, you know, people have a push. GMO, GMO, non-GMO, non-GMO, non-GMO. You know, going to eat organic and then take a plunge of something you don't even know what it is? No, sir. As a called out, separated people, we are homebodies. And like a homing pigeon, which is the type of a dove, which is in the natural of the Holy Spirit, because, you know, the dove types of Holy Spirit. And as such, we have an inner guide that is directing us by a desire to fly away to our heavenly home. Meanwhile, the world is being guided into a hybrid beast transhumanism condition, just like Eve did in the garden when she received the beast serum and produced a beast-human hybrid in Cain. But as the bride walks in the light, as He is in the light, she is laying in His presence, the presence of the Son, and she is ripening to the manifested Word, which is the interpreted Word of God. Now, from His message, hours to come, Brother Branham tells us, and I pray that your spirit, the angel of God, whose servant I am, may come tonight and vindicate His great presence to be here and make it an outstanding time that the people may never fear no more. but to know that the supernatural great God of heaven is here among people and is now working among His children, that they may be, if they start to do anything wrong, they will that they will know that there's an all-seeing eye watching them. And if they would do something right, know that there's a Heavenly Father watching them who will in return give them a reward, for we reap as we sow. Hallelujah. Blessings and cursings. In fact, in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Notice, how does destruction come to the people? Lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. And we've been thoroughly warned by God's end time prophet of what events are to come upon the earth, and yet people, by a lack of knowledge, which is a willful ignorance, because he told us every detail of what we're seeing today, yet how many people see it when it is manifested openly before them? I'd like to know how many preachers are preaching what I'm preaching from this pulpit. And I do not care if you read your Bible from cover to cover every single day. If you cannot see the manifestation of that written word, you are ignorant to the things of God. And you might say, well, but I listen to the tapes of the prophet every single day. But listen, the foolish version, listen to the midnight cry, which is the shout of 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. And yet when they came out to see him or to meet him, they could not see that he was the manifested word. And so they missed him and they went to them that sell. We've seen that. And so they have a selective memory of words of the prophet instead of laying in these words of God and ripening in them. It used to be that men would look at the fig tree bringing forth fruit. And they would say, ah, that's Israel. And by this we know that we're at the end time. But we have literally gone into more than 100 events which we are seeing in Scripture that are coming to pass, and it seems weekly, and yet most people are blind to them. And I ask the question, why? Because of tradition, they do not understand the difference between the appearing of the Lord and the coming of the Lord. That is because they do not know the difference between God and the eternal Father of glory and His only begotten Son. They do not understand the season of the parousia of Christ and that there are 84 signs and events the Bible tells us that will take place during this time. And so they have missed 79 of those events that have already taken place. Or if they've seen them, they can't place them in the Scripture. So because they do not understand, they fear. And their fear replaces faith until Jesus said, when he comes, will he even find faith among the people? Now listen, faith is five letters, right? F-A-I-T-H. What is fear? It's a nasty four-letter word. Right? Therefore, this sermon will be number 4 in our mini-series on the end-time events. And I think, I actually, when I was beginning this sermon last night, I thought that perhaps we would end it today, but I have about 7 more pages of just pure Scripture. So, not to say the Lord can't open our understanding to more of what he's doing down the road, but for now, we will close this mini-series this morning and actually maybe next Sunday. Now, to take for our text this morning concerning more and more events, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 21 and begin reading at verse 25, where Jesus says, and there shall be signs in the sun. Now, this is not Jesus speaking here, but in the Old Testament, we also see prophecies that tell us that there will be signs in the sun at the end of days. In Joel 2:28-32, it reads, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. You know, I get questions all the time from young ministers around the world. And, you know, just last week I had a question. He says, well, you know, is it only the prophet that has visions? I said, no. I said, the Bible says, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. You see, that's being done every day. I said, but what you're not understanding is that wasn't visions. William Branham had visions, of course he did, but he had the sign of Messiah. What is the sign of Messiah? It's Hebrews 4 and 12. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing to the soul, you know, even discerning to the soul,
joints of the marrow.
Okay. In other words, it's a discerner of the word. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's a sign of Messiah. Messiah is the Word. God is the Word. All right. So lots of people have visions. You know, there's been ministers, even Trinitarian ministers have had visions. And some of their visions have come to pass. And that's just God giving you a little glimpse. It's like, remember, in 1990, Brother Vail, up in Canada, in Toronto, Canada, he preached this sermon and was talking about, just talking about his experiences with Brother Branham. But he mentioned that a family over in England had watched a particular TV show on their television one night, and they liked it so much that they contacted the TV station and said, you know, we really enjoyed that program. Are you going to be showing any more of it? And they said, what program are you talking about? And they said, well, you know, such and such. He said, well, no, we didn't show that. We didn't play that at the time. We've never played it. Well, that got them curious because they watched it. The whole family watched this program. So they did some research and found out the last time it had been aired was 20 years ago in Texas. And those airwaves have been going through the universe or through the world, and somehow the setting was perfect that their antenna or whatever they used picked up that signal. Now, Brother Branham, you've already says, you know, if there's people walking through here right now, people passing right through you. He said, the radio signals, the television, that's a fourth dimension, and they're passing right through you. He said, well, that's the way the rapture is going to be one day. And if you're not aware, you won't pick up that signal. You see? So it says, young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? I hope you're all calling on him daily. He says, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape. As the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. You know, they made a movie years ago called The Great Escape. That was fiction. We are in the Great Escape because we've entered into Him. Now notice the blessings and cursings here. There will be tribulation at the great and awesome day of the Lord, but there will also be those who escape that tribulation. We have begun to see signs in the sun for the past several years now, but we have not yet seen the sun go dark or burn out. And I believe we will not see that until the tribulation sets in, or the end of the tribulation. And of course we will escape that. But God interprets His word by bringing it to pass, and we have not yet seen anything that stands out as a supernatural event in the sun to this point. But I believe that we will see as things begin to be quite weird going on with the sun as we get closer and closer to the time of tribulation. Now the sun blackening out and becoming darkened is prophesied also in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat in blaspheming the name of God, which hath power over those plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Now, I think it's quite interesting that there is a massive move in the minds of the people that global warming will be the destruction of the earth when there is no physical evidence of that happening scientifically. In fact, scientifically, there's evidence that the sun has been cooling. But, as Job said, the things I fear the most have come upon me. Now, what's interesting also is if the sun is cooling, and you see, if the sun eventually comes dark, that means it's cooled down. You know, we're going to have an ice age here. All right? But as Job said, the things I feared the most have come upon me. And Brother Brown said, God cannot send destruction until the people are in the spirit of destruction. So what happens before a sun dies? It gets super hot. Yeah. Okay. So I wonder, is this psychological warfare that we're seeing in the media and among the government leaders to push this into the minds of the people, was what will start the warming process to bring on their own destruction? But Jesus tells us the timing of the sun going dark in Matthew 24. He tells us, as he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be dark. after the tribulation of those days. And the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the earth, heavens, will be shaken. Now, also in Mark 13:24-27, we hear Jesus say the same thing. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then, when, at the time of the end, before or after the tribulation, he does not say. He just says, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, great doxa, which is God's opinions, values, and judgment. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Then after the appearing of the clouds of the Son of Man will come the gathering for the rapture. So we have seen the sign of the Son of Man in clouds with great miracle-working power and great doxa. That is what this shout is all about. Now, getting back to what Jesus was telling us, as let's just turn back to Luke 21, verse 25. He says that we will not only see signs in the sun, but signs in the moon. In the last several years, we've seen four sets of blood moons. In fact, I think we've seen six of them. In fact, almost everyone in Christendom watched during the 2014 and 2015 time frame, as we had a series of four blood moons, which also, all of them, fell on Jewish holy days. Now, according to the Wikipedia, the blood moon prophecies are a series of prophecies in the Bible, which, according to many Christian preachers, stated that a tetrad, a series of four consecutive lunar eclipses coinciding with Jewish holidays, with six full moons in between, and no intervening partial lunar eclipse, which began with the April 14th lunar eclipse, is the beginning of the end times as described in the Bible in the book of Joel, Acts 2 and 20, and Revelation 6 and 12. The tetrad ended with the lunar eclipse on September 27 to 28, 2015. Now, I think it's interesting because that was when the Obama administration was ending. All right. Then you have 2016, you have a new something beginning. Now, but, of course, we know that when they said that was the beginning of the end, they were wrong because they didn't look at Revelation 10, 1-7, Luke 17:30. They didn't see that from 1933 all the way up, God has already been here working 79 of 84 different things. Okay. Now, of course, we know they're wrong because the beginning of the end time was the descent of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4, which is the appearing before the coming, which is Revelation 10:1, which most preachers totally reject. And to reject God's servant is to reject God himself. And we all know that. But this May, we also had a blood moon, which is not a unique thing. They happen quite often, but not often enough to just say it's not, or just to say it's a natural event. In fact, Brother Brown talked about when the moon does certain things, and he said, look, it's all supernatural events because God made them. All right. But the series of blood moons we saw in 2014 to 15 are quite synonymous with the end time scene that is unfolding, beginning with the parousia of Christ. And as we've already witnessed, 79 of 84 signs and events of the parousia of Christ have taken place. Then Jesus continues and tells us that there will also be signs in the stars. But again, I believe these signs will be the alignment of the planets as they did when Jesus was born and when also William Branham was born, and Brother Branham talked about the alignment of the planets as being a very significant thing pointing to the end days. Brother Branham commented on that sort of thing in a sermon, Communion, preached 1962. And he says, we see that the astronomers are predicting sometime in this early part of the first part of the month, beginning on the 2nd or the 5th or somewhere along this, the Indian astronomers predict the world to blow to pieces. And the American newspapers make fun of it. And I do not believe the world's going to blow to pieces, but I do say it's wrong to make fun of it. Because something is fixing to happen one of these days, something similar to that, when the five planets, Mars, Jupiter, Venus, and so forth, comes into their, and they never have did it. And they claim maybe 25,000 years ago, but who was back there to know? So, some of these things we just sit back and we watch, because although they be signs, yet taken separately, they are not indication. But taken together, they paint the picture that we are at the end times. Now, as Jesus continues, we see him become more descriptive of what we are now seeing take place. He said, and upon the inhabitants of the earth, there will be distress of nations. And this word distress among the people of all nations is a universal perplexity. It's universal in every nation. It's a quandary. and a state of uncertainty. And then he adds, with perplexity. What's that? So this distress of nations is accompanied by perplexity of people. And the word perplexity means a tangled, involved, or confused condition or situation. And the word distress of nations comes from the Greek word synoki, which means to restrain, to compress, or to squeeze. Figuratively, to compel, to press in, or to put in a hold. And remember, when they were in the Bible, it says that when they were in prison, they were in a hold. Or to keep in, like in a prison. So this perplexity of the nations is the great squeeze we're going through right now, when the people have been quarantined to their homes, quarantined away from this and that. And we see the world is being squeezed in every nation. Why? Because the entire world is being deceived, as we are told in the book of Revelation 18:23, that it would be. We read in 18:23, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be no more heard at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And that word sorceries comes from the Greek word pharmacia, and it means pharmaceuticals. By the pharmaceuticals, all the nations have been deceived. Now, this is spoken after Vatican is blown to smithereens by the Russian bomb. That Putin seems to be the only world leader with any sense and knows the game plan. And the whole world has entered into a press, a locking down, because of the pharmaceutical companies have demanded it. And the politicians go along for the money and the power to control that they have never experienced before. Then verse 24, and in her, the Vatican, was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Now, getting back to what Jesus is telling us as signs of the end time, he adds, see the seas and waves roaring, and we've seen tidal waves sweep over Japan and Indonesia, and we're getting ready to see the great one. When California goes, it will sweep all coastal cities and wipe them clean as promised in Isaiah 24 that we read last week. As Brother Branham said, these tidal waves from the California earthquake will be a mile high, and told the brothers in Tucson, that's half a mile high, and that's, 400 miles or so from the ocean. The water will come up to the hubcaps in Tucson, and he told on tape that the tidal wave will shoot plumb up the Mississippi and Ohio River. Now, he also said, Florida will be no more. It'll be underwater. He also said, the coastlines will be flooded. He also said that the mountains will flee away, and that's what Isaiah had told us as well. Now, from Abraham's covenant confirmed, Brother Branham said, also the moon itself is a watchdog. God set the boundaries of the sea and set the moon to watch it. And see how angry it jumps at the banks. It's likely to destroy everything on the earth, because it did one time, you know. And to see sin heaping, and the waves beat those big waves against the banks. And remember, in the last days was predicted tidal waves, seas roaring and men's hearts failing for fear, perplexed of nations, distress. That would be the end time signs. And look, this perplexity of nations, we're seeing those signs right now. We went through all that down along the road. Now, here we are, right up to the last sign to Abraham's children, and even brought in the names of the messengers, just like it was in Abraham's day, to show that there's no slip up nowhere in the Bible. Thus saith the Lord. And then the church is set dead. Ball games and attractions of the city and the worldly things has the church all lured away. And the Bible said they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Yep, that's the churches. From choosing a bride, Brother Brown said, that's a solemn warning. We don't know what time. And you don't know what time that this city one day is going to be laying it out here in the bottom of the ocean. Oh, Capernaum, Capernaum, Jesus said, thou who exalted into heaven will be brought down into hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, it would have been standing till this day. And Sodom and Gomorrah lays at the bottom of the Dead Sea, and Capernaum's in the bottom of the sea. Thou city, who claims to be the city of the angels, that's Los Angeles, who's exalted yourself into heaven and sent all the dirty, filthy things of fashion and things till even the foreign countries come here to pick up our filth and send it away,
with your fine churches and steeples and so forth, the way that you do, remember, one day you'll be laying in the bottom of this sea, your great honeycomb under you right now, the wrath of God is belching right beneath you. How much longer he'll hold this sandbar hanging over there when that ocean out yonder, a mile deep, will slide in here, there, plumb back to the Salton Sea? It'll be worse than the last days of Pompeii. Repent, Los Angeles. Repent, the rest of you, and turn to God. The hour of his wrath is upon the earth. Flee while there's time to flee and come into Christ. Thus saith the Lord. Now, from thinking man's filter, he said, blind Laodicea, how oft God would have given you a revival, but now your time has come. It's too late now. How did you laugh and make fun of the people that God sent to you? But now your time has come. Oh, United States, United States, how that God would have hovered you as a hen does its brood, but you would not. Now this voice is going from coast to coast, from north to south and east to west. How God would have hovered you, but you would not. Now your time has come. Nations are breaking. The world is falling apart. 1,500-mile chunk of it, 300 or 400 miles wide, will sink hundreds or maybe 40 miles down into that great fault out yonder one of these days, and waves will shoot plumb out to the state of Kentucky. And when it does, it'll shake the world so hard that everything on top of it will shake down. Yeah, so much for building earthquake-proof houses. I'm ashamed of him. This was a sermon that I preached, he says, on when I believe Brother Elijah Perry might have been a deacon here in the church at the time, for all I know. But it said, the time has come. I don't know it till Miss Simpson brought me the sermon the other day, and I got it wrote down in a little book, that the desert, that ocean shall weep its way into the desert. That was 30 years ago. And of course, the Salton Sea is about 200 feet below sea level. And if that big churning, that earth swallowing in like that, with hundreds of square miles, hundreds and hundreds of square miles sinking into the earth, that'll throw a tidal wave plumb to Arizona. Sure it would. And as I said, Brother Brown told the brothers in Arizona, it'll be up to their hubcaps in their city in Tucson. And that's 2,368 feet above sea level. From trying to do God a service, he said, Miss Simpson, I don't think she's with us today. I see Brother Fred sitting here, but I don't know where Miss Simpson is. But she went up and got a prophecy that I made about 1935 or something like that and said the time would come, it's written in a book somewhere, that the sea would weep its way into the desert. Look what will take place. If that thousands of square miles falls down into the lava of the earth and slides in, there will be millions die at one time. And that'll cause such a tidal wave. Now remember, plumb up into the Salton Sea is 100 and 200 feet lower than the sea. That water will probably come almost to Tucson with that tidal wave coming across there. And the sea shall weep its way into the desert, breaking, nations are breaking, Israel's awakening, the signs that our prophets foretold, the Gentile days are numbered, with horrors encumbered, return, O disperse to your own, we're in the end time. Now the Lord bless you richly, I get started on that and forget about time, we're going to fade quick, pretty quickly into eternity now. And from the signs of the time. And you know, that earthquake in Alaska was a Sunday school picnic compared to what's coming.
Yes.
Now, from sign of the time, Brother Ben said, what does real scientists say about it? Seeing them interview the other day, it said, should we alarm the people or should we just keep it to ourselves? That's kind of the way the government does. You know, don't tell the people, just tell the elite. Let the elite prepare. Or should we just keep it to ourselves? What do you want to say about it? He said, well, there's not a thing to keep them from it, from doing it. They'll not let us know. They'll not let us know all their secrets. And but some night that satellite up there could. What would it hinder tonight for about six of them to go up and come right over the United States and say with these hydrogen weapons, we couldn't get to them. So all right, surrender or go to action. What would take place? Remember, last week I showed you that the Russian missile that they have that could get here in minutes. They said it could destroy the size of Texas. You know how big Texas is? Anybody have driven across Texas? Oh, Justin grew up there. That's a big place. One missile can destroy that whole thing. He said maybe there'd be six of them come. You're talking about total annihilation. All right, surrender or go to action. What would take place? That can happen before morning. It would not disgrace with the, not disagree with the Bible. It would fulfill the Bible. The nations are ready for it. Handwriting's on the wall. And all that's in the skies where Jesus said it would be, there'll be signs in the heavens above. Men's hearts failing. Perplexed of distress of nations. Perplexed of time. The seas are roaring. Never know of a history ever that had the tidal waves that we're having now. Look at the Chicago last Sunday and all up and down the coast. Perplexed of time, distress between the nations, the handwriting on the wall, and return of the power of the Holy Ghost to the church. Now from Joel chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and divided my land. Okay, so back to what Jesus is telling us in Luke 21:26, that all these things, especially the distress or locking down of the nations, would cause men's hearts failing them for fear. And notice the hearts are actually failing them for fear. Notice the vax jab is causing young men and women's hearts to stop. And we'll get into that in a moment, so hold that thought. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. So we see that the hearts are failing for fear because they are seeing these things arriving on the earth and the people are so fearful they will allow anything to be pumped into their bodies without even reading and understanding what it is that the government wants to jab them with. That to me is sure sign of end time insanity because the people are very fearful. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This word shaken is a Greek word, saluah. And a meaning to waver, agitate, and topple. And we just read the quote where Brother Brown ties that with the missiles and the satellites and all that stuff that's going on. And then shall they see the Son of God, or the Son of Man, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, and when these things have begun to commence or arrive on the scene, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. We're getting closer, brother, sister. Every day there's revelations coming of the manifestation of God's Word coming true. Remember God's promise in the book of Joel of the great escape for the elect of God at this time. And Brother Brown says that the God who made the promises is here to confirm them, which means to manifest them. And he continues, and he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. And I remember, you know, being in this message in the 70s, and, you know, just looking at how Israel had come in 66, I think it was, the Six-Day War, was 67, somewhere there. So it was all fresh in our minds. And we saw how Israel stood off all those Arab nations. And within, what, 5 or 6 days, whatever it was, they just totally annihilated all the air forces of Jordan and Egypt and all this other. And they came out on top. And that's when they took back the Golan Heights and a few places like that. And we used to say, you know, wow, we're at the end time. You know, Israel. And you know what? That was just one thing. The last couple of weeks, we've seen hundreds and hundreds of things. I've mentioned them to you from Scripture. And they're all happening now. What a privileged people we are to be able to live in this time, to see all of this and not have fear of what's going on. Knowing that we're like that little bride that she's just waiting for that man to show up in that buggy board. She's all dressed and everybody's mocking her, making fun of her. She's crazy. You know, why would she have a wedding dress on? And why would she, you know, and he came and got her. He's coming for us. When they now shoot forth, you see and know that of your own selves, the summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, just as you see Israel become a nation, so too, when you see all these things coming to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is near at hand. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The God who made these promises in the Word is here to confirm them. Now, Jesus has just laid out for us many end-time events to watch. And next he lays out a warning for every one of us to be ever watchful. He says, and take heed to yourselves. Be watchful and pay close attention to what I have said, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Now, what's surfeiting? Surfeiting is a condition as a result of overeating and drinking. It's a drowsiness and a spirit of slumber which overtakes you when you've eaten too much. Now, I think every one of us can identify at one time or another that we've eaten too much and all of a sudden we're just tired and have to take that afternoon nap. That's the fighting. That's a condition of the people are not aware of what's going on. They're just kind of slumbering and just, you know. And he says, and drunkenness, which is a mental state when your mind is not able to focus correctly. Why do you think they have you put one foot in front of the other and you walk the walk? Because if your mind is clear, you can do it. If your mind is in a mental kebab, you can't do it. Now, those are translating. Don't worry about kebab. Just put something else there. Anyway, it just means befuddled, you know, being befuddled. And he says, and the cares of this life. Now, the word cares of this life, the definition of the Greek word, the Greek dictionary says, through the idea of distraction. In other words, be watchful that you're not distracted from what I'm telling you. Keep your focus on the things that are happening. Keep them before you because you know this is the end. And don't let the cares of this life, through the idea of distraction, distract you. In other words, don't let any of your daily activities keep you distracted from what you are watching for. Because if you are distracted, then that day will come upon you unawares, unsuspecting, ignorant, and unknowing. For as a snare, a trap, shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Yep. Get the jab. Why? Because that's what you're focusing on. You're not focusing on the promise of escape. You're not focusing on the Holy Ghost. Of the 7 billion people on this earth, how many do you think have the Holy Ghost? Just a handful. Maybe hundreds, maybe 1,000, maybe 5,000. I don't know. I just don't know. But God knows. And he said, all that sigh and cry, all that are totally disgusted with the sin going on in the city, they'll receive a mark in their forehead and in their hand. Now, for that day will come upon you unawares, unsuspecting, ignorant, unknowing, for as a trap shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. As a snare. That's even a better word. As a snare. Because that's what it says. As a snare. You know what a snare is? You put an enticement, you put a box, put a stick, you put a string around it, and you're going to trap. And as a kid, you know, the first time I tried it, I didn't use any bait. So I thought, oh, yeah, you know, the bird's going to be curious. They're going to come in, they're going to, you know, I'm going to pull it and I'll get me a bird. No, they never came. So what I do? I got some things that the birds would like, put it under there, and the birds came and I could pull the string and get. That's what a snare is. In other words, there's bait. There's an enticement. Yeah, there's an enticement. Tell you what, like one politician said, he was eating a big hamburger and fries. You know, he was a New York guy, young mayor of New York, de Blasio, you know, eating a big hamburger and he's talking with his mouth full and said, you know, if you come and get the vaccine, you can have one of these. Good grief, I'd get my own hamburger. Governor of Ohio. Well, you know, if you're a young college student and, you know, we've got a raffle going on, a lottery, gambling, you get, oh, what's the price? Oh, just gamble your life. Gamble your life and get the vaccine and then we'll put you in a big pool and we'll drop in the pool and we'll get 5 people to get a college scholarship. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And you know what? We're going to have $5 million winners. Just come and get your jab. Why do you have to pay people to get a jab? Unless, you know why? Because you're trying to kill them. You're enticing them. It's like a snare. Snare them in. And then whole churches, the pastor gets the jab. Everybody in the church gets the jab. Except for maybe one or two that just can't understand it.
For as a snare, it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, the distraction, the fear and compulsion being placed upon the people will have their minds on that instead of what God is getting ready to do. So of all times,
in the history of the earth, we should be more focused on what God is doing than at any other time. Because Brother Brown taught us, if you are not aware that the rapture, if you are not aware the rapture could pass right through you, and you will miss it unless you are aware of it. So if you're not focused on these things, brother, sister, if you're focused on your whatever, your daily life, you're going to miss it. That's why it says, as it was in the days of Noah, they ate, they drank, they built, they did all these things. They were focused on that and not on the coming of the rain. This is what he told, Brother Brown told us in God Hiding in Simplicity. He said, the church goes through the tribulation, but not the bride. The church goes through for purification, sure, under the sixth seal. Right. Israel does the same thing for the 144,000, but not the bride. The bride is forgiven. You hear that? The bride is forgiven. She goes straight to glory in a rapture. That's right. She, my opinion, the last member will be caught up one of these days. It might come and you wouldn't know nothing about it. Now remember, it's a secret. Secret catching away. He'll come in an hour that you think not. You won't know nothing about it. She'll be gone. Be too late then. You say, well, I wish I would have stood. If you ever intended to make a stand, let this meeting in Albuquerque, let this be the time that you make your stand. From sudden secret going away of the church, Brother Ram says, Lord God, in this great moment where I look upon this little congregation to see red faces and tear-stained cheeks, we're aware that the great secret agent is standing near, the Holy Spirit. Now, let us take the way with the Lord's despised few. If there is little scruples in our neighborhood, amongst the people, amongst the church, or wherever it is, that has nothing to do with us. We shall not defile our garments with things of the world anymore. For you shall come someday in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that sudden secret rapture of the church, and you'll be coming up over the hill, a hill of time, down the horizontal rainbow. What's horizontal? To take away the church. For the scripture said, the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we shall be caught up with them in the air to meet the Lord, and forever we will be with the Lord. Wherefore, my brethren, comfort one another with these words. Now let that ring deep in your hearts of this congregation this morning. We'll praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, God came to us already in three horizontal rainbows, confirming His covenant that we are in the seed of, that we are the seed of Abraham. And every quote I found where Brother Brown talks about a horizontal rainbow, he ties it with the second coming. We should be ready more than anybody else on earth. From God's only provided place of worship, he said, we see every other thing moving right up to this time. We see the scripture being vindicated and proved. And just as we see that, Lord, you with our own eyes being made manifest, someday there will be a rapture and we'll see the manifestation of that word. Isn't that a beautiful promise? For the Son of Man shall come in the clouds with the glory of his angels with him and will be caught up to meet him in the air. We hear of it now, then we'll see it with our own eyes. That's a prophecy. So you see, if you are seeing God's word in manifestation now, that should let you know that you are focused on Him and what He's doing now. And when the time comes for the resurrection meeting, you will also be focused then as now if you keep your watchful eyes on what He's doing. The wise virgins had a watchful eye and went into the wedding supper with the groom, but the foolish did not and went to them that sell and were left for the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, which is tribulation period for cleansing. But if you are just paying attention to the worldly cares of this life and are not focused on what God is here doing, you will miss it because it will pass right on by and you won't even be aware of it. From Jesus Christ the same, he said Abraham was the elected, and we all know that Christ is coming for an elected church. That the rapture is the remnant, we know that, the elected church. The others go through the tribulation or through the judgment. But the elected goes first in the rapture because they cannot go into judgment. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall never come to the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. St. John 5:24. We are in Christ already judged, as we brought out a week ago. God judges us for our faith in his Son, Christ Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit we're baptized into that body and become part of Christ's elected church.
Now Jesus himself said in John 5:24, we'll read it from him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation," that is the judgment, "but is passed from death unto life." And remember, he says, "And he that heareth my words and believeth in him," and remember, you have to be in him believing, and he has to be in you believing. See? From conflict between God and Satan, so there's no place where the church, the bride, ever goes through the tribulation period. Christ's blood, in the fullness of the application of the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses all sin. And why do we have to be purged? We are purged daily. No tribulation. Now listen, listen what Jesus said in St. John 5:24. "He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life." Amen. "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things." This is Luke again, 21, verse 36 now. "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass, and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man." Hallelujah. I believe the A Son of Man will come through this door one day, the one who had been revealing these Son of Men. I believe we're going to be in a resurrection time, a resurrection ministry. So he's telling us that there will be much distress upon the peoples of the world, fear and confusion that will grip so many across the entire world that their hearts will be failing them. And adding to that fear is the germ warfare and psychological warfare that is being hoisted upon the peoples of the earth by the rich men and the pharmaceutical companies, as we read, and we're going to read again Revelation 18:23, because I want you not to forget this. "And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee." Why? Because they're going to be gone. Like I read the quote last week where Brother Branham says that the true servants of God, God's going to take them from the earth. All right? In a rapture. "For the merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries, by thy pharmaceuticals, were all nations deceived." This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Now, from God's provided way of healing, he said, "What is a cancer? What is a tumor? What is a disease?" We'll deal with that in just the next few minutes. Now, what is a cancer? What caused that thing? Now, let's take a cancer, anything you wish to take, tubercular, pneumonia, whatever you wish to, any disease. Diseases are germs. Let me pass something here quickly as our times are going. Now listen, did you know the Bible predicts that in the last days that there'll be a germ warfare? You think just one outbreak is a warfare? "That disease will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But with the angel or who had charge over these plagues was given orders to touch no one on whom the mark was." Why? How much kind of teachers have we got to be, brethren, to get the church in order to be in that condition? Immune. So he says, what kind of teachers have we got to be, brethren, to get the church in order to be in that condition? Immune. So the right kind of teacher is going to be teaching this stuff. "My arms are sore now from where the doctors have punched needles to try to inoculate me from the yellow fever and so forth. I told them I didn't need it, but they wouldn't listen to me. But I'll tell you what God's going to do. God's got a serum, and it's called the Holy Ghost. And when that serum goes in, it'll inoculate you, hallelujah, in the last days." And from God's provided way of fellowship, he said, "How we thank thee that in the great hour that when all hopes of mortal life is finished, atomic bombs are laying in the hangar, hydrogen bombs, sickness and diseases, germ warfare, oh God, and everything the way that it is, knowing that the Bible said that man would actually rot in their flesh." That one's coming. "But that angel was given a commission. Don't you touch any of those. Don't you come near those who has the wine and the oil. Don't touch those who has the seal of God upon their forehead." And we realize that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the seal of God. "For it is written in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption." Lord God, seal this church tonight. Those who are wanting to seal the Holy Spirit, kiss away every fear, Lord, and seal them with thy seal of the Spirit in their hearts, that they'll come forth as newborn babes, crying, "Abba, Father." Grant it, Lord. I commit them in Jesus Christ's name. Now, I was going to read about another 10 pages of notes from the book of Revelation, but would not be here to see the woes that are coming upon the earth, so those will take place in the time of tribulation. But
I want you to read for yourselves the following scriptures, Revelation chapter 16, the entire chapter, because each messenger has a vial. Read Revelation chapter 17 about the judgment of the whore, read chapter 18 and 21. And then Daniel chapter 7, 9 and 12, because we have already read chapters 8, verses 23 to 25. Those things have already taken place. Daniel 7, 9 and 12. That's coming. All right. And then that one comes in through deception, and the whole world is aware of the great deception, yet they cannot see the manifestation of it in the scriptures. But right after he tells this to Daniel, we see in verse 23, 25, events that are to take place right before the end of the beginning of the end. And those are the scriptures that foretell the rise of the world ruler who will come on and begin to stand up against the Pope and the world's rich men. And in doing so, he will be a high energy person, and through his policies, he will make craft, which is manufacturing, to prosper. And then he will lose his power because of what the Prince of Princes, the Pope, does. And we've seen all that manifested when the Vatican used their three satellites to turn the election. Now, then we see that the election will be stolen through deceit, and that will install the Antichrist system on the throne of Rome and give power unto the beast. Brother Bram says, from the stature of a perfect man. This present government now is spending money for what? For tax money that they'll be collecting 40 years from now. She's done. That's Lifeline, right out of Washington, D.C., across the nation. Taxes. They're spending and trying to buy foreign. And what? And they're just giving it out anyway. Don't you see what's exactly what they're doing now? You see, President Trump tried to say, let's not be giving it to foreign people. Let's give it to our own people, to help our own people. So he's gone. Now what are they doing? Reversing all that, and they're giving money away to everybody. Doing infrastructure in Europe. Taxes are spending and trying to buy foreign, and they're giving away, giving it out anyway. Don't you see that's exactly what they're doing? See, what is it? Now, if this nation's going busted, the only thing it can do is go busted. And the only thing that it can do is go bankrupt. That's the only sensible thing to do, change the currency, but they won't do it. Under this present administration, Roman Catholic Church owns the gold of the world, and what they'll do is sell out. These rich men and so forth of the earth, as the Bible said, what will they do before they lose the Brown and Williams Tobacco Company? All of them is Catholic anyhow. And all these other things, what will they do? They'll accept that, and they'll take the money from the Rome, and then she's sold her birthright. Rome backs her up. Yes, sir, she'll back it up, and they're getting enough policy together, getting enough around them, bring it in this cabinet, and look what Mr. Kennedy's asking for. And when you see this the other day, there's no need of voting anymore. What's the use of voting? When they put it in the paper and proved it before the public and they refused to do anything about it, when they proved what the machines across the nation were set up, that they elected Mr. Kennedy by a false vote, don't the Bible say that he would come in by deceit, a falsehood? And now I'm not against Democrat Party, no more than Republican Party, but I'm just stating facts from the Bible. What's the use of voting? They know what's going in there. And then read Isaiah chapter 2 again. Chapter 24. Read it slowly and carefully with an eye to this hour and what is transpiring before your very eyes. And in closing, we're going to read from Habakkuk 2 and 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Remember, you've got to have a spoken word ministry to ignite it. Ignite the written word to do what? To come into manifestation. And at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, your warnings. And I know, Father, this little group that you've given me to pastor over have got the Holy Ghost, and they've got common sense to just look at what's going on and say, how can people be so ignorant to plunge themselves into their own death? And before we see it, I believe if the Lord tarries another year or two, we're going to see mass death everywhere. It's coming. It has been spoken. It was written. It has been spoken, and so shall it come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine.